news time.
Hey guys, it is so good to be here. And can I just say, I really appreciated the prayers as I've been preparing this talk for those who have been praying. This is a really complex topic. It's not something that I've just learned, but something that rings true. When I was in school, when I was your age, which was only 10 years ago, super not that long ago, I'm not that old. When I was in school, gender was not an issue. It was not something we talked about. It was not something that I really kind of had ever interacted with. And so part of what I'm saying today is I'm recognizing the complexity of the world that we're living in and how quickly it seems that life is evolving. I didn't know anyone who identified as non-binary. I didn't know gender dysphoria was a thing that people kind of were going through in their minds. I didn't even know what a pronoun was, let alone like how to use it to ascribe to your gender. And I certainly didn't know that when you Googled how many genders are there, it comes up with about 72. This is something that I've over the last few years have had to kind of educate myself, learn, try and understand. And it's because it's something that I haven't really known about. My confession to you as your pastor is I haven't felt comfortable to speak on it. And I am sorry for my silence on this topic up until now, because this is such an important issue. It's affecting who we are. It's affecting the people that we love and that we relate with. And so I'm sorry for not, until now, seeing what God has to say about something like gender and seeing how Jesus transforms everything when it comes to something like gender. As we start, we're going to talk about a couple of things, but we're going to talk about biological sex and we're going to talk about gender identity. And I'll use these two kind of definitions as we're going through today. So biological sex is the anatomy and the biological makeup of our body, understood by XX and XY chromosomes and our physical anatomy, and it's something that is assigned to us at birth and identifiable through biology. Gender identity is a bit different. It's a person's kind of subjective understanding of the way they relate to their biological sex. And their maleness or femaleness or somewhere in between, which isn't kind of given by biology or assigned at birth, but kind of chosen. And what we're going to look at today, I want to kind of give us a framework for where we're going so things don't get lost. But we've got three kind of topics we're going to look at. We're going to look at the fact that as per the Bible, God has created us male and female. That in the Bible we see that actually there's so much more to who we are than just male and female. And so we're going to look at our identity and maybe what Jesus has done for us. And then we're going to think about how to respond and how to love the people that are around us and how to think really well about how to love with God's love as we kind of relate to the people in this world. We're in for a big ride, but let's start right at the beginning. As with any topic, we ought to think about what God says in creation, in Genesis 1 and 2, and right at the start, before kind of the problems and the complexities of this world happened, when God created and God said, this is good, or this is very good. And so we start here in Genesis 1:27, where Chris read for us, where we see this. If you could get that on the screen, please, Josh. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is the first mention of humanity in the Bible. This is the first mention of the way that God created and the way that God loves his people. And one of the first things that we're told about people is they're made in the image of God. And secondly, that they are given biological sex. They're made male and they are made female. Male and female. This is the biological sex of people. Right at the start, God has kind of set people up to be different, to be male and female, to be kind of different to one another and kind of the same image of God, equal in value, but physically different. Their biological sex, their biological makeup is different. XX, XY, male and female. And then in the next chapter as well, we see some things as well. So I'm going to give 5 points to the first person who can find a word that's similar to male or female in chapter 2 of Genesis. If you don't have your Bible open, then you won't be really in with a shot. But first person to shout out a word that sounds like male or female from Genesis chapter 2 wins. And you have to say the verse as well. Say confidently.
Man, verse 23.
Man, sorry, say again.
Man and woman
in verse 23. Yeah, that's it, Chris. Yeah, so we see man and woman, which is a different Hebrew word to male and female. Biological sex, the male and the female in Genesis 1:27, and the kind of almost their understanding of how that biological sex lands them in society, their understanding of their gender in chapter 2. We see this in verse 7, where God created a man from the dust of the ground. And then in verse 22, where God 21, where God created a man, made a woman from the rib he had made. And then verse 22, we see man and woman as well. We see from these two chapters of Genesis, right at the start, right where God created everything, that our biological sex and that our gender identity ought to be linked and ought to be one and the same. Men and women are different. But men and males and females and women are the same. Their gender identity, their biological sex is the same. Now, I'm not going to kind of plumb the depths of the entire Bible about some of the differences between men and women. That might be an entire another talk or an entire another series of talks on something like this. But we see that men and women are equal, but often kind of have different responsibilities. We see that particularly physically through the fact that women are able to kind of give birth to children and men are not. Men and women are also a little, on the most part, for the most, different socially as well. Brains develop in a slightly different way. There's lots of studies done to say that, to see how people communicate differently for the most part. And some of these things are cultural, granted. But for the most part, men and women are quite different. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think one of the ways we can celebrate as we think about gender is that in our church, men and women are so different to one another, but we're able to love one another as a group of God's people right now and relate to one another as a group of God's people, as males and females, created in the image of God. Our biological sex and our gender are inextricably linked and are a gift from God. They are one and the same. Just like Steph Curry is linked with draining threes, downloading a new phone game is linked with low sleep levels, and macaroni is linked with cheese, these are one and the same, our sex and our gender. Now, feel free to like poke holes in those illustrations, but I really tried to find any. But we know that God has created us male and female. As with everything, we want to see as well, when we think about topics, we don't just want to see kind of what happened over here in creation and where we are now. We want to think about what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done about these things as well. And we see in Matthew 19 that he actually speaks pretty deeply about sex, sexuality, and gender, no matter what people might say. So in being confronted with some people about human relationships, Jesus says in verse 4, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? Quoting pretty much word for word Genesis chapter 1. Jesus affirms the goodness of the creation of people as male and as female. God has created male and female. But this doesn't seem to match our experience a lot of the time. It doesn't seem to match those people that are suffering with gender dysphoria, who feel that their gender does not match the sex that they have been assigned at birth. And there's some people that don't neatly fit biologically into the XX or the XY chromosomes. About 1% of people are intersex. That is, they have kind of biologically non-binary sex. And what is really beautiful about this chapter of the Bible in Matthew 19 is that Jesus mentions some of these people. A few verses later, he speaks about some people called eunuchs. And he says this, I'll explain what eunuchs are in a second. He said, there's eunuchs who are born that way. There are those who have been made eunuchs by others. And there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Now, eunuchs is this like fancy word used to describe some men who would have a certain anatomy that rhymes with testicles removed from them for different reasons. Sometimes slave owners would kind of try to like eliminate the harmfulness of their slaves and do something like this. Sometimes people would choose to have a high-pitched singing voice and so choose to do that before puberty has hit or something like this. But sometimes people are born with anatomy that doesn't line up with our understanding of the world. And Jesus recognizes this. And for those people who might even be in this room who might be intersex, how good it is to know that Jesus isn't surprised by that. I think that that is pretty cool. Now, to be clear, these people were males. They were biological males who lived as men and served in their church and in their families and in their homes as males. And so this isn't just a big green light to go, okay, God mentions it, sweet, we do what we want now. But rather, it's a recognition that our bodies are made beautiful, but like we saw last week, are affected by sin in the world. Beautiful, but broken and bought at a price. God has created us male and female. He's given us bodies and minds that are male and female. He's given us pronouns of he and him or he, she and her because our sex and our gender are linked. But that's not all. Because God has made us as more than just male and just female. One of the big questions about gender identity and some of the confusion that comes out of this is asking the question, who am I? And when people are facing discomfort or distress about kind of who they feel within themselves, it's a perfectly reasonable question to ask. And we ought to feel for people who might like who might not have a strong sense of self when it comes to something like gender. But something that is really reassuring is that there's more to who we are than just our sexuality. There's more to who we are than just our gender as well. This is from Headspace, the kind of youth mental health research arm. And they share this. They share on the like first thing on the gender identity page on Headspace is that our identities are made up of many wonderful parts. Things like our culture, our sexuality, our religion, our age, our body, our gender, and lots more. It's super clear that there's more to who we are than just our biological sex. There's more to who we are than just our sense of gender identity. Because while being male or female is really significant, there's so much more. First of all, for Christians, we know. We know that God loves us. We know that God created us, that God knows us, that God loves us, that God redeemed us, that God purchased us, and that God calls us through the death and resurrection of children and through trusting in this, he calls us his children. God loves us. God loves us. Christians are God's children, first and foremost. You might be a student. You might be a member of a certain kind of social group at school. You might be a member of the debating team. You might be an Australian. You might be an employee at Gordon Macca's. But we are all people who Jesus loves well before any of that. And we see this in this passage in Galatians in chapter 3. We see this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Look at that. What Jesus has done is so big and is so significant that he kind of transcends any cultural group, any kind of gender identity group, any kind of state of who we are. Jesus says, I have given you an identity that is better, that gives you more fulfillment, that gives you more satisfaction. Jesus didn't die for any of these people over the other. He died for everyone and he calls us his children. Regardless of what you're looking for in life, there's more to who you are than a definition that you can kind of craft for yourself. Nigel, our senior minister, did a talk last year on gender. It's on YouTube if you want to look it up. It's excellent. I can give you a link later if you want. But one of the first kind of application points that he landed on is this. First, we must begin with a fresh consideration of the enormity of our identity in Christ. That is just how big it is that the God of the universe would say to us, yeah, I love you. Because when we lose sight of how big it is that we are in Christ Jesus, we start looking for other things that we can kind of fill the gap with. We kind of try to craft an identity for ourselves, and we know from our own experience that that can be really tiring and wearying and doesn't leave us satisfied. And this is part of the key problem when gender becomes your identity and your sense of who you are is landed in your own understanding, your own subjective understanding of what's happening inside your body and inside your mind. What you are is nowhere near as important as who you are. It's nowhere near important as whose you are. You are God's precious child. That's who we are, more than male and female. Now you might be thinking, Josh, that's all well and good, but how the heck do I respond to this situation in my life? I'll give us a chance to think about that now. So have a chat with the person next to you, and before we get to the next point, what's one, like chat with the person next to you, 10 seconds, what's one word that ought to shape the way Christians relate to other people in the world? 10 seconds, go. I'll count down from up here. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, it starts with elements above, 4, 1, I counted wrong, 0. Okay, I'll bring back together. What's one word that you think might describe the way Christians ought to relate to other people in the world? Keegan.
Kindness.
Yes, but a different one. I was looking for a specific one. Angus. Love. Loving. I was looking for love, but loving counts. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry for being facetious, Keegan. Thank you for sharing. Sorry for being even more facetious, Angus. Love. Love ought to describe the way that Christians relate, not just with other Christians, not just with God, but with everyone that is around us. We see when Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? This is from Summer Camp Memory Verse a few years ago. You might remember it. The next one. Oh, no, that's the one. Sorry. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Too often we can rush into kind of some of these discussions and not have the love of God as our driving motivation. We might see someone wrestling with their gender identity, and it might be something we don't understand. And so instead of loving, we just kind of like take a step back, or we might judge. There's no room for that. We ought to love. Love God, love our neighbors. For every single one of us who is a Christian, the call is to love. Loving God and loving others has to be the fuel in our tank as we relate to other people in this world. There's a guy called Vaughan Roberts, who's a minister in England, who's written substantially on what it looks like to live with your identity in Christ. And he's written a book called Transgender. Super helpful, really short. You could read it in a night. I read it in more than that, but I reckon you could beat me. I've got a copy for you to borrow if you want. I've only got one. Come find me at the end. But he speaks about how there's often two responses that Christians have when they're faced with an issue of gender dysphoria. With a person struggling with gender dysphoria or a kind of a something in the workplace or something like that. And that is either to say yay and like fully embrace everything about someone claiming an identity for themselves. Say yay and affirm everything, or to say yuck and stand back and judge and not love. Now, he argues in this book that there has to be middle ground. There has to be, instead of this black and white, there has to be a gray area where we are loving without embracing this new identity, where we are loving without judging. There's no room for that. So how can the love of Jesus help shape us to be people who don't say yay and who don't say yuck, but love? Have compassion for people that might be wrestling with these things inside their body. For every time we might be tempted to look down on someone because they wrestle with something we might not understand as much, we have to love. For every time we might be tempted to just agree and wholeheartedly kind of let things happen, we ought to love. Those who are loved, love. Those who are served, serve. Those who have been welcomed in with open arms despite difference, welcome others in with open arms despite difference. I've got a couple of FAQs that people in senior high and junior high have asked about some of these issues. But before we get there, I thought it might be helpful to have a couple of kind of diagnostic questions for us to kind of, if we're faced with a scenario or a person in front of us to love, that we actually do that and don't just kind of react. Because I think it's when we just react that we go with either yay or yuck. And so these might be some questions for us to ask ourselves to reflect on, so that we might think and let the news of Jesus transform the way we respond. You might be able to take a photo of this if you want, but these are some of the questions. Number one, have I prayed for this person or this specific situation? Have I actually brought this before God? Am I just kind of taking this for myself? Number two, have I remembered that God has shown me more love than I deserve? It's very easy to get on our high horse and kind of look down on people. That's not what the news of Jesus is. The news of Jesus is that we are all people in need of saving. Number three, is my initial reaction to this motivated by the love of Jesus or something else? How's your own heart as you're relating to these people in our lives, these people that God has placed in our lives to love? And lastly, is this going to actually love this person like God does? Or does the way I respond to this person or this situation do something else? Now, we can ask a heap of different questions, but these are some I thought might be helpful for us to avoid saying yay or yuck, but to love as God loves. All right, FAQs. I'm going to triple clarify. A lot of these are like Josh's wisdom and not a definitive call from Scripture, because so much of this area is really complex and really gray. I'm going to say some things that other Christians would disagree with as well, but come fight me later. Number one, is it appropriate for me to tell a trans person that they are actually their biological sex and force them to act like it? No, that's probably not super loving. Should I speak up when a transgender person is being bullied at school? Absolutely. Christians ought to be the first people to speak for those that are mistreated for whatever reason. Christians ought to be deeply compassionate and stand against any sort of injustice in this world. Should I put pronouns on my Instagram profile? I don't think you need to, but you can if you want. It's a wisdom call. It might be in your mind, in your conscience, might be good to affirm the pronouns that God has given you. Or it might kind of add to some confusion of other people around you. This is your call. What you should do is put some sort of indicator that Jesus loves you in your bio or in your profile. Wear it purple day at school, yes or no? Like all the others, this is a wisdom call. When I was in school, wear it purple day was an action and movement against the bullying of those from the LGBTQ community, which is absolutely appropriate. Like I said earlier, Christians should be the first to speak up for those being oppressed for whatever reason. It seems like, in my opinion, seems like it's kind of changed a bit to kind of, when you wear it purple, you're accepting every single thing that the LGBTQ community kind of offer, including your identity, your gender and your sexuality being the key part of your identity, which I think as Christians we might be able to lovingly disagree with. But like I said, your call. Gender reveal parties. Cringe. Don't. Is it okay for me to like things that girls traditionally like if I am a male? What about the other way around? Absolutely. What if someone I know dresses like my perception of what the opposite sex does? That might be a way for them to work through some of the things that they're going through. It might be a sign that they're more fashionable than you. That's chill. What if I'm in a class where the first sharing question is, what are your pronouns? How do you honor Jesus there? You might be able to share your pronouns, or you might be able to say, I don't really want to. And then if you're asked why, you could say, it's not something I do. And I think that that is okay. I think that's a way of abstaining respectfully. But like I said, your call. And should we use someone else's preferred pronoun? This is where other Christians this week, as I've sent the talk to them, have disagreed with me. Feel free to disagree with me later. But I think in order to love the person, I would say yes. Some people would say that it would reaffirm something that is not God's truth, which is true. But at the same time, I think if we're going to kind of be so hard on God's truth without having love and compassion involved in this relationship, it might mean that actually we just write off someone's understanding of the God that loves them in the first place. Now, like I said, great area, Josh's wisdom, feel free to fight me later, but I would. Regardless of what we feel we are, the fact is that we are humans who are made in the image of God, who are known and loved by the Creator, with minds and bodies that have been created beautifully, and sometimes complex in this world of sin, this world that God chose to enter to save us. It's God's world. He's made us male and female, and his people love with his love. That's the truth for us today. I pray that today you will know the truth, but not just know the truth, that you will love the truth, that the Creator and what he has to say truly is what is best. I'm going to pray that now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for creating us male and female. Thank you for the beautiful differences that you've given us. Thank you for the way that you have so linked sex and gender. We ask that we would hold to the truth in love. Help us to be people who love what you say. Thank you for the love that you've given us in Jesus. Help us to know who we are and that that is more important than what we are. And for those who are mistreated because of gender identity things, be with them. Help them find peace. And may we as Christians speak out about speak out against mistreatment and love with the same love Jesus has showed us. Help us look to you always, know and love you always. In Jesus' name, amen.